So, unfortunately, the downside of doing the Shmuel part after the Purim part is, yeah, I had to do it that way because I didn't know how long we would need for the Purim part, but the downside is that Perek Chafhei starts with such a downer. It's such a sad thing. It's the death of Shmuel. Like, what am I going to tell you? Take a look first on your sheet at the outline part. So it starts with this one sentence on the death of Shmuel, but what a sentence it is, as you'll see. Then it's going to introduce us to a man named Naval and his wife Abigail. David is going to send his men. Remember, David is still wandering out in the hinterlands, on the run from Shaul. David is going to send his men to seek support from Naval, who is very wealthy. Naval is rotten through and through. And he says, what? I should just support random upstarts who claim that they're the king? And then we learn more about the relationship between David and Naval, and we find out that David's men have been protecting Naval's shepherds and their flocks all through the season. And Naval is just an ingrate. David goes on the warpath, literally. David is ready to go to war against Naval. Abigail learns of this, and she deters David from attacking. Naval, and part of deterring David from attacking is that she gives an immense amount of support to David's men. Naval hears about this, has what commentators view as some form of heart attack, dies 10 days later, and then Abigail marries David. And then at the end of the chapter, we're told that aside from Abigail, David is also married to Ahinoam, and his wife Michal ends up with Palti ben Laish. So there's a lot to talk about, obviously, in this chapter. This is going to be quite the discussion. The one major story in the chapter is David nearly killing Naval. Right? That's the major theme of our chapter. And the questions we're going to have to ponder as we learn it include, was David right for wanting to attack Naval? Was this an okay reaction? How do we view Abigail in this story? And how much of David's response to Naval is born of anxiety and frustration with his uncertain status? And why is Hashem putting David through this? The question that we keep asking chapter after chapter after chapter, why does David have to go through this? So take a look at Pasuk Aleph, please, sentence one. Remember that Shmuel has been out of the picture basically since anointing David, except that cameo appearance at the end of chapter 19 when he saved David in Nayot, right, beside Ramah. David fled from his house. And he went to Shmuel and Ramah. Shmuel took him to Nayot, where the student prophets were. The Gemara in Zvachim says that that's when Shmuel tells David where the location of the Beis HaMikdash is. We've talked about that. So, the pasuk here is very brief. Vayamas Shmuel. Shmuel died. Vayikabetzu chol Yisrael, vayisbedulo. All Israel gathered. They eulogized him. Vayikberuhu biveisau baRamah. They buried him in his home in Ramah. We're going to come back to that phrase. Vayakam David vayered el midbar Paran, and David got up and he went down to midbar Paran. This is one of those cases where the Da'at Mikra gives you a picture and you're like, that helped me not at all. They give you what's captioned, Nof mimidbar Paran. The view of midbar Paran. I can tell you right now, even if you change your view so that it will be, fill your screen, you still won't get anything from that picture. This could have been Mars, for all I know. Maybe if it wasn't black and white, it would help. But in any case, that's our pasuk. We'll talk about where Midbar Paran is in a bit. In terms of the timing of this event, right, remember what we said in source number 10 on your sheet. It's a Gemara in Ta'anis. The Gemara, the Medrash, believe that Shmuel dies at the age of 52. We've talked about that a lot. Vayikasher zaken Shmuel, it was when Shmuel was old. Umisiv Shmuel kulei hai. They ask, was Shmuel really that old? Right? This goes back to chapter 12, if I remember correctly. Was Shmuel really that old? V'habar nun beis hava. He was 52. De'amar mar, meis b'chamishim u'shtayim shana zem misaso Shmuel haramati. The Gemara has a discussion about the meaning of death at particular ages, and it says if somebody dies at the age of 52, that's like Shmuel did. What that means is a separate discussion, not for right now, but the point that we're trying to make, was it, I thought it was in Perek Yud Beis. I'm just looking now at Perek Yud Beis. The Perek Yud Beis is when he gives his big final speech. Oh, but you know what? No, it's going to have to be earlier. It's going to have to be earlier than that. That's right. Perek Zion, chapter 7, was where we had the business about the Aron being in Kriyat Yarim for 20 years, and that was when we discussed his age. But Perek Ches, chapter 8, is when it says he was old, because the point is that's when the nation comes to him and says they want a king. Sorry. So it's chapter 8 where it says it. So the Gemara says, but he's not that old. He died at the age of 52. We don't think 52 is old. 50 ain't old. 52 sure isn't old. So what do you mean when you say that he's old? So Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So the answer was, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, Zikna Kapsa Alav. He wasn't old in the sense of chronological age. However, he aged prematurely. What do you mean? Dichsiv, because we learned back in chapter 15, Nichamti ki himlachti as Shaul. Hashem said to Shmuel, I regret coronating Shaul. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, shekaltani kemoshe v'aron. Shmuel says to Hashem, you equated me with Moshe and Aharon, right? Moshe and Aharon and Shmuel are listed together in a couple of different ways. Ma Moshe v'Aaron lo bitlu maase yideim b'chayehem, af ani lo yizbata maase yodai b'chayai. Just like Moshe and Aaron did not outlive their handiwork, when we first learned this Gemara, we talked about what the handiwork of Moshe and Aaron was. They did not outlive their handiwork. So too, I don't want to outlive my handiwork. I don't want to outlive Shaul. Shmuel feels attached to Shaul. Amra Kadosh Baruch Hu, heichi aved. But Hashem says, what am I supposed to do? Lemus Shaul lo kashavik Shmuel. Shmuel's not going to let me kill Shaul before Shmuel dies. Lemus Shmuel adizuter meranani abasrei. If Shmuel dies young, then people are going to say he must not have been a great man. That's not right. Lo lemus Shaul lo lemus Shmuel. So all right, Shaul won't die. Shmuel won't die. Then kvari gia malchus David ve malchus nagas b'chaver ta'afilu kim lo nima. That's no good. David is supposed to become king. You can't have Shaul and David overlap. Once David is supposed to be king, Shaul has to be out of the picture. Which tells you that David is not yet supposed to be king. Right? Until Shaul is dead. It's not supposed to happen yet. But Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Akbitz Alav Zikna. Hashem said, alright, I'm going to have to make him age early. So according to this, it's a little bit awkward. According to this, the verse in chapter 8 that said he was old was that he aged early because of events that are only going to happen in chapter 15 when Hashem says, I'm getting rid of Shaul as king. So Hashem is jumping the gun on this, knowing the future, according to the way this Gemara reads it. Nonetheless, I don't want to get hung up on that right now. The point that I'm making and the reason why I'm bringing this is to say that Shmuel, as the Gemara explains, has to die before Shaul dies. Shaul is dying at the end of this book. So Shmuel has to die before the end of this book. When I say this book, I mean Shmuel Aleph. So Shmuel passes away here. Second point to know, we're actually going to mention Shmuel's death a second time. In chapter 28, sentence 3. Because Shmuel is not quite done in this book. You may remember the story in which Shaul calls up Shmuel from the dead. He wants to have a conversation. So that's in chapter 28. So in chapter 28, sentence 3, it's going to begin, Ushmuel Meis. Shmuel died, Vayis Bedulu Kol Yisrael, and all Israel eulogized him, Vayik Faruhu Barama, They buried him in Ramah, Ubi'ira, and in his city. We have to come back to that phrase eventually. And so on and so on. The reason it's mentioned there is because it relates to the context, which is, he's dead, therefore, this whole story happens with Shaul trying to call him up from the dead. But his death happens in our chapter. Okay. Last note, just from a language perspective, it says he's buried in his house in Ramah, but I mentioned, I think I said it when I read it, Ralbag says it, it doesn't mean literally he's buried in his house. It means he's buried in his property in Ramah. Okay. Yes, Susan.
Okay, maybe you tried it and I don't remember it. But Shmuel Bet that was written all in prophecy.
Shmuel what? Shmuel Bet? No. We did this back a while back.
The
Sefer Shmuel is written by a combination of prophets, in sequence. It's written by Shmuel, by Nasan, and by God. Three Nevi'im. We've met God already. God was the one who told David at one point to leave the Mitzudah and to go out, the whole story there with, when he was in Moab, that business that led up to the destruction of Nov. In chapter 22. So we met God already. We have not met Nasan yet. Nasan we meet only, I think, in Shmuel Beis.
So we call it Shmuel Beit in memory of him?
We don't call it Shmuel Beit at all. This is one book called Shmuel. There is no such thing as Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beit. That was a gift of the Catholic Church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is one book. They had trouble keeping it all together. It's a very long book, so they split it up and we ended up adopting that split. But as far as we are concerned, there is only one Sefer Shmuel, there's only one Sefer Malachim, there's only one Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Yeah, we don't do Aleph and Bet. Okay. So.
To know, thank you.
Sure. So the question is, why is this told here? Why are we mentioning the death of Shmuel here? And if you take a look on the next page on your sheet, you see a table in which I gave you a whole bunch of different approaches, which can be sort of grouped into different ideas. So the first approach, the simplest approach, the one that any of us would have said, because this is when he died, right? He died after what happened in chapter 24, right? Chapter 24, you will recall, was when Shaul almost killed David, but then David had a chance to kill Shaul in the cave and he didn't do so, right? And then Shaul says to David, I recognize you're going to become king and just, don't harm my children, right? You remember that? So Radak says, if you take a look at source number 11, Siper Misa Shmuel, He says it tells of Shmuel's death here because it could be. That's when Shmuel died, at that time when Shaul and David separated. And Shmuel's prophecy was actually fulfilled in his lifetime when he said that Shaul will be replaced by Re'acha Tov Mimecha, the better one. That's now fulfilled. Ki af Shaul hoda lemlucha leDavid, because Shaul acknowledged that David is going to be king. Now Shmuel can die. That's one way to look at it. Simple, straightforward. And yet, other commentators disagree. And they say that it's explaining elements of what's coming next in this chapter. It isn't about Shmuel's death. It's about what's happening next. Meaning, first approach, the end of the sentence said that David went to Midbar Paran. We took pains in the previous chapters to show where David was. He was always in the region of Hebron, right? Whether he was in Keilah, whether he was in Ziph, whether he was in En Gedi, it was always in the region of Hebron. Midbar Paran is wildly different. Midbar Paran is way down south near Egypt. That's our assumption about where Midbar Paran is. I gave you some references in source number 12 for those who want to look it up later. The first reference, Bereishis 21, that's where Yishmael lived after he was removed from the house of Abraham and Sarah. Bamidbar chapter 10 has the Jews camping at Paran after they leave Har Sinai. The Jews are in Paran when they send the Meraglim, the spies, into Israel. This is an area that is way down south near Mitzrayim, near Egypt. Why did David go all the way to Midbar Paran? He's been steadily in the Hebron area. Why in the world is he leaving? And the answer may be that he does it because of Shmuel's death. What do you mean by that? So a few approaches. Rabbi Yosef ibn Kaspi says that David had only stayed local in order to consult with Shmuel. He wanted to be near Ramah. I didn't put this. I didn't put his text on your sheet. But that's the view of Rabbi Yosef ibn Kaspi, that David stayed local in order to consult with Shmuel. Honestly, I find that a little bit strange because it hasn't happened in the text. Like, I feel like you should be telling me at some point that David is meeting Shmuel. That's a big deal. So I have a little bit of a hard time with it, but that's one approach. More substantively, and brought within more commentators, is that no, he goes to Midbar Paran because of Shmuel's death, but not because he lost Shmuel, but because Shaul lost Shmuel. And now David is scared. I see Claudette nodding. That's what you were thinking. David is now scared. Why should he be scared? So I gave you on the sheet, if you look in the table, the first view that I brought you there is Mitzudat David, Rav David Altshuler, presenting what I think is original with him. I haven't seen it with anybody else. He says all the mourners are traveling through the area where David is. David is in the En Gedi area, right near the Dead Sea, the Yam HaMelach. You have this big north-south route. All the mourners are coming to Ramah to eulogize, and David needs to get out of the way. That's one approach. Malbim says something different, very fascinating. You know, we've always debated, when do people know about Shmuel anointing David? So Malbim says Shmuel never told anyone. Shmuel was too afraid of Shaul. Remember we had this whole discussion when Shmuel says to God, if I go to anoint David, Shaul is going to kill me, and we asked whether he was really afraid of David or not. So Malbim says Shmuel really is afraid of David. And no one knew as long as Shmuel was alive. But now that Shmuel dies, his students or whoever is going to tell people, and David is afraid of Shaul. But the simplest approach within this camp, and this is Professor Keel's approach in the Dat Mikra, is maybe David was not quite as afraid of Shaul while Shmuel lived. There's always that check on Shaul when Shmuel is alive. Like the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Ches says about Shlomo and his Rebbe Shimi ben Gera. As long as Shimi ben Gera is alive, there are certain things Shlomo isn't going to do. He's not marrying Paro's daughter. But once he loses his Rebbe, once Shmuel is gone and Shaul's Rebbe is no longer there, now get away because you're going to get hurt. Now there is no restraint for Shaul anymore, and therefore David says, I need to skip town. So that's another approach. So far what we've seen are really three approaches. Number one, this is here because it's when Shmuel died. Number two, it's because without Shmuel being in Ramah, David doesn't need to be local anymore. Number three, it's without Shmuel in Ramah anymore, David needs to leave and go to Midbar Paran because of Shaul, either because of the mourner traffic, people are going to find out David is there and Shaul will attack him, or news of the anointing is out and that will lead Shaul to attack him, or Shaul is, as I wrote on the sheet, unleashed. Who knows what Shaul is going to do now that Shmuel is no longer around. We still have more approaches to bring. Some very fascinating ideas. So God willing, not next week. Next week there is no Shir because next week is Purim and hopefully you will be having a Seuda and celebrating. But Emir Tzashem, God willing, in 2 weeks we will resume. Okay?
Thank you.
Yes, Eti. Eti, what were you going to say?
Seder on Tuesday?
The Shir on Tuesday is happening, God willing, yes. Eddie, sorry? Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking while you were talking before, how the people, if Shmuel didn't tell anybody that he anointed David, and David is anointed in kind of in secret, so how will he be proclaimed king when nobody knows that Shmuel has anointed him?
That's a really good question. You know who's going to ask that question? If you still have your Shmuel open in front of you?
Yeah.
A man by the name of Naval is going to ask that question. If you take a look in chapter 25, sentence 10. Mi David umi ben Yishai hayom rabu avadim hamispartzim ish mipnei Adonav. Who is this David? Who is this ben Yishai? He had all these servants who claimed themselves to be great. And he goes on in that vein. So Naval is going to ask that question too. I'm not convinced of this statement that people didn't know about the anointing. You have a lot of people who are gathering to David, and you have Shaul, who seems to know something. But that's one view, certainly, is that it's not known. And that's what creates part of the problem here.
But if David was anointed in secret,
yeah,
and Shaul is still king, and David recognizes him still as king,
yep,
so I would assume that he wouldn't tell all his people that are the riffraff that are with him that I'm going to be king.
So I would have thought so, but remember what they did in the cave where they said, look, this is the moment that Hashem told you about? It sounds like they believe this. Where else did they get that idea from?
Because Shaul is after him, and here now he's in your hands and you should have done something about him.
No, but they say Hashem said that your enemies are all going to fall before you.
Well, they all mention Hashem.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to have to go. But thank you very much, everyone. Sorry, Claudette, you were going to say?
No, I was saying in the earlier chapters, David went down to see Samuel. Why would he go to Samuel if he wasn't connected in some way with the
people? Right, so that's the question. Was that a one-shot desperate thing, or was that part of a pattern? It's a good question. All right.
Rabbi Tochina, very quickly, I just wanted to express a karasatov on behalf of all of us.